The cyber landscape is constantly evolving, creating new challenges and opportunities to defend against sophisticated attacks. At Northrop Grumman, we provide a wide range of capabilities to stay ahead of these threats. To learn more, visit northropgrumman.com/cyber.
Welcome to the Defense and Aerospace Report's weekly cyber report sponsored by Northrop Grumman. I'm your host, Vago Maradian. Joining us today is my good friend, Jay Healy, a senior research scholar at Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs, who is also associated with the Atlantic Council think tank. He's a former United States Air Force officer and a plank owner of the first Joint Cyber Command, JTF-CND, in 1999, and a former director of cyber infrastructure production at the White House. He also created the first CERT at Goldman Sachs and was the vice chair of the Financial Services Information Sharing and Analysis Center. Jay, thanks as always for joining us. And I'm sorry that you're now approaching day 200 of lockdown.
All very locked down here in New York. Thanks for having me, Paco.
An absolute pleasure. Just days before the U.S. election, General Paul Nakasone, the chief of the National Security Agency and the commander of U.S. Cyber Command, really made an extraordinary statement that his forces had gone on the offense in order to defend this election, this important election, from external interference. And the statement was extraordinary, folks found, I think, on two grounds. First, that we tend not to discuss cyber operations, offensive cyber operations, and especially when it came directly from the man in charge of cyber offensive operation forces. And then the second question that folks had and were scratching their heads over was, well, wait a minute, what does that mean, right? People have a tendency of understanding we did a proactive strike on an airfield, for example. But as a friend of mine put it, so what, did the screens go, was it the blue screen of death? I mean, could they not open a website? I mean, what does that exactly mean? So let's start first with the extraordinary nature of this. And what is it that we know that Cyber Command did to defend the election?
Well, let's start with General Nakasone talking about it. And this is fully in line with the Cyber Command vision, which is about 2.5 years old right now, of persistent engagement or defend forward. So they came out with this document in early 2016 that said that they were going to persistently engage, that you can't, to make a naval analogy, which General Nakasone did later, to say, look, the fleet is no good if it stays in the harbor. You've got to get out and you've got to be actively contending with the other side. Imagine it like anti-submarine warfare, right? You've got to be out there tracking the other side. It's a very active process of tracking submarines and contending with them. And so that's what Cyber Command has said they were going to do. Now we'll talk maybe a little bit more about why he talked about this at the end, but so what does it mean? And so both from the general's comments this time as well as past operations, it looks like they mean four different things. When it came to earlier in November, when General Nakasone said they took actions against Iranian hackers that were up to interfering with the elections.
Right.
And what he said was, we had a very, very good bead on what a number of actors were trying to do. We provided early warning and followed. We weren't surprised by their actions. So he's talking about intelligence and indications and warning, right? So his forces, both at NSA as well as Cyber Command, were watching the Iranians and others and pivoting with them as they go network, right? They're playing man-to-man defense here and following them around the networks. And so then when the Iranians started to take actions, and you may remember they tried to impersonate Proud Boys by sending out some emails to influence the election and intimidate voters, that NSA and Cyber Command were able to provide warning and immediately, within hours, able to say this was the Iranians that conducted this activity.
Which is always a challenge, right? Because we've always said attribution is very hard to do. And in this case, we not only did it in near real time, but we're able to actually disclose it and put that chain out that showed people
Absolutely.
What it is that they were
committing. The next fastest after that was maybe, or for a big case, was maybe North Korea attacking Sony. And that took a couple of weeks. So that does the indications and warning and the intelligence part. But they also hope to disrupt the command and control of the adversaries, right? I mean, because they've only got maybe 10 computers that they're actually working from. And those 10 computers are reaching out to maybe 100 computers. And those 100 computers are controlling so many, many, many more. Well, it's a normal command and control kind of network, except the nodes in that network are computers around the world that they've taken over, like except for the 10 that they own. And so when the general says we're disrupting them, a lot of times they're going after those. In October of 2020, General Nakasone, it looks like US Cyber Command went after the TrickBot, which is a ransomware botnet run by Russians, but not hadn't been previously associated with the United States. And they were going after it and trying to take down that command and control. It could also mean blowing up the home networks, right? When I said there are those 10 computers that are really run by, like for example, say the GRU or the North Koreans, they've got their home network, the computers that they're hacking from, the computers right. they use to develop new vulnerabilities, what they use for HR and admin and budget, because they have to right. do those functions too. And we could take it all the way home and disrupt them at home. We don't have any public examples of that, of going after their home networks, except for the 2018 elections when Cyber Command, it looks like, went after the Internet Research Agency.
Right.
And took down some of the home networks there at the Internet Research Agency, which wasn't doing cyber attacks. They were doing trolling. This was the famous St. Petersburg troll farm that was sending out misinformation and disinformation. And the last is you might not just blow up their network, but you might just mess with them, right? You might be able to bring in your dirty tricks people and have some fun. And that's what they also did with the Internet Research Agency in previous years, was sending them the operators of those trolls and sending them, we know who you are. You're never going to get visas to come to the United States or Europe. Back off, back away. And because they weren't real, they're not GRU military intelligence. They're just Russian millennials who thought they were having a fun, a fun job messing right. with Americans. And, so that might work to affect them.
So, as you said, right, it shouldn't be as hard for people to visualize what that offensive action looks like. Do we have any, right, in terms of, sort of how you explained it, right, like get into the other guy's backyard, get into their computers, networks, do that kind of disruption. At the end of the day, do we have any evidence that this sort of new muscularity, this more overt discussion and use of offensive means is having that deterrent effect at the end of the day?
Yeah, it's going to be hard to know. Fortunately, with General Nakasone, we have a very modest and balanced officer. Because if you look at his comments, he hasn't been saying, we slammed dunk them, and but for my operations, the election would have been a mess. In his comments, at least as they were reported in places like the Washington Post, he was saying, we haven't actually seen quite as much in 2020 as we did in 2016 or 2018. It looks like maybe the Russians weren't quite as strong. And I'm glad he is doing that, because there is a concern that, this happens enough that in political science and international relations scholarship, it's a well-known fallacy that if you or I were to take concerted action and something doesn't happen, then we tend to imagine that it was almost entirely because of the actions that we took.
Right.
And rather than, well, maybe the other side just didn't feel like attacking this year, right? We were divisive enough on our own, and they didn't have to stir the pot quite as much as they did in 2016, for example. And so that is a danger as we're looking at this, is to figure out, one, what are those immediate measures of effectiveness? Right, for the Internet Research Agency in 2018, it was relatively straightforward. We bombed their home networks. Sorry, we cyber bombed their home networks. So we're able to measure that disruption relatively quickly. Now, that's nice for operations. It's a lot tougher if you're saying, all right, is this going to work over the longer term to keep these adversaries down versus we're shooting and they're keeping their heads down.
And not to overdo it with the Atlantic Council, right? But Ben Jensen of Marine Corps University was at the Atlantic Council, if I recall, either earlier this year or last year, talking about we don't really know enough about cyber deterrence as we should, and obviously studying that. Each element of this, Jay, is, right, we do something, they do something, right? I mean, this is a very, very fluid dynamic. I think we've not talked about offensive cyber capability. You were one of the pioneers of that capability going back decades ago in terms of how to make best use of it, how to have that network domain awareness. What's the future of this, right? I mean, whenever we do something, the adversary adapts to it. What does this tell us about where this kind of cat and mouse capability game is going?
Right. I mean, anytime I like those questions, or anytime we get those questions, I like to start with, all right, what's happening in both technology and both for geopolitics, right? And as we're taping this, we still don't know who will be the next United States president, but we can be certain that they're not, whether it's a second Trump administration, early Biden administration, that they're not, neither is going to go really easy on China or North Korea. And certainly a Biden administration is going to stay hard on Russia. Biden administration might be a little easier on Iran. So at least against the adversaries, we can imagine that the president's orders to cyber command is going to keep on the pressure. So I'm expecting that whoever is president is going to give the green light for continued persistent engagement of these kinds of indications and warnings, command and control attack, blow up the home network, mess with them kind of tactics that we had talked about for the elections. Now, where we can get concerned is, right, I'm less worried about the escalatory impact of that immediately. Right. As long as it's for, like, if someone's messing with our elections, you don't worry about the escalatory. You don't have an escalatory concern. You just have to stop them. Now, one danger is if it goes from being something that we do to stop for elections to stop adversaries from doing things that we want to do ourselves or that we actively do ourselves. Because then they're going to say, all right, that's kind of playing unfair. And that's the kind of thing they might escalate to. To the changes of how this might play out, we also have to think about technology, right? The more that we're deploying insecure Internet of Things technologies, then that gives adversaries a lot more chance to cause death and destruction, even accidentally, than they have in past decades.
Jay, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Look forward to having you back on again.
Great. Thank you very much.
Everyone is a contributor at Northrop Grumman, and every day is an opportunity to help defend our nation and our allies. Visit our careers page at ngc.com to learn about joining the Cyber and Intelligence Mission Solutions team.